and makes her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense comes. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted.
My reading is from Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 16. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. For Abraham was waiting for the city which God had designed and built, the city which with permanent foundations. It was faith that made Abraham able to become a father, even though he was too old and Sarah herself could not have children. He trusted God to keep his promise. Though Abraham was practically dead, from this one man came as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, as many as the numberless grains of sand on the seashore. It was in faith that all these persons died. They did not receive the things God had promised them, but from a long way off, they saw them and welcomed them, and admitted openly that they were foreigners and refugees on earth. Those who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a country of their own. They did not keep thinking about the country they had left. If they had, they would have had the chance to return. Instead, it was a better country they longed for, the heavenly country. And so God is not ashamed for them to call him their God, because he has prepared a city for them. Amen.
John's Gospel.
So thanks, Rob. Reading from John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 48 to 59. So this is Jesus' claims about himself. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and and was glad. "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Amen. Thank you, three, for reading. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us to hear your words this morning. Help us to not only hear, but to respond. Lord, would you change us from the inside out to make us more like you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, what is your life built upon? If you were to imagine your life now and you started peeling back elements of that life. Oh, hang on. My screen's doing funny things. Elements of your life, your family, your jobs, your interests, your hobbies, your history maybe, your house and possessions, your daily routine, your body even, the good you do and the bad. What would you end up with? What would you end up with? Last time we were in the church building, we were reminded how Jesus' followers listened to Jesus and follow Jesus alone. We looked and saw that the small gate, the narrow path, are Jesus, Jesus alone. See, the false prophets, you remember, are the ones that try to widen that narrow path by making the path Jesus plus. Or if not, they place tremendous obstacles along that path, the narrow path, making what is already a challenging path almost impossible to walk. This week, we turn our attention to Jesus's final metaphor. We turn from gates and paths to houses and foundations. And Jesus asks the question here. If your life is a house, what is the foundation of that house? If you take away all those things that we imagined just now peeling away from your life, what are you left with? What is the foundation? So let's read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So if your life is a house, what is it built upon? What is the foundation? Is your life founded on the rock of Jesus and his teaching? Or is it on the sand of the world and its teaching? On what have you built your house? Let's notice some of the things of what Jesus is saying here. First of all, we are all builders, metaphorically. You may not be the best DIYer or builder, but you are all building. Builders, we are in a process, developing something. We are constructing our lives. The second is this, we all face storms. Life is guaranteed to bring you storms. Your house is going to find itself subjected to rain and wind. All houses are subjected to storms. All lives encounter problems. All. Storms are a certainty of life. Third, notice that Jesus isn't really interested in the building itself. He's not interested in the type of construction, brick, timber, cob, what type of windows or doors, or how sound the doors or gutters and rain, how rainproof it is. It's the foundations that interest Jesus. So what are these two foundations? The foundations, of course, are what give strength and resilience to the house against the storm. One is rock, one is sand. One holds the entire building up, no matter what storms occur. The other fails, and the entire building collapses. Jesus says, he and his teachings are like the rock. You can fully trust in him and his ways because they are the ones that lead to a sturdy and secure house. Sometimes it's helpful to consider what Jesus does not say. He does not say, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built an extension on the back of his house so that he could have more indoor space. Jesus is not an extension to our lives. He is the foundation, the very basis. He is foundational. He is the ground of being. Do you want to know what is wise? What is a wise thing to do? Well, the wisest of all people known to the universe are the ones who build their houses on the foundation that is Jesus. When someone comes to faith, and hopefully everyone in the building and via Zoom here has at some point come to faith, and they place their trust in Jesus, they begin to tear down their existing houses, move to an entirely different area, a new place, and totally rebuild from the ground up upon the rock that is Jesus. You see, coming to faith is not like adding Jesus to what you already have. It is much more like tearing down what you have and starting all over again with new foundations, the foundation being Jesus. So we've considered the nature of these buildings and the foundations. What is the main point of what Jesus is telling his followers? What can we learn about what he's saying here? Well, remember last time, it was all about following Jesus, listening to his voice, listening. That's the narrow path. But here, Jesus has a stark warning. Not just to hear him, but to do what he says. The one who hears his words and puts them into practice is like the wise builder. Remember, James says this in his letter, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. See, it is possible for the Christian to spend all their time reading the Bible attending Bible study groups, listening to podcast sermons all day, and still be just like the foolish builder. You can read and memorize the Bible inside out and still be foolish in Jesus' eyes. Because if you do not do what he says, you are like the foolish builder. You see how stark this warning is. See, Jesus' words are not just for Bible studies. See, it was Jesus who was there at the beginning, the Word of God. He was the one who spoke the world into being. It was his words that brought the universe to life. So the expectation is then that as Jesus speaks, new creation occurs. Jesus remakes with his words. That's why the crowds were amazed at what he taught. He was opening up an entirely new reality to them. He was recreating with words. But you and I have a choice. We can either enter into that new creation by doing what Jesus is saying, or we can refuse and stay stuck in the old creation. See, one is wise and the other is foolish. Finally, as we remember not just Jesus' words, but his sacrificial life. His words and his life were totally consistent, remember. And ultimately that led to his death and resurrection. I want to draw your attention to the readings we had earlier. You remember in Hebrews 11 and John 8, the father of faith, Abraham, went looking, left his comfortable life, left his cozy house in search. He was living in tents. What was he searching for? A city he was searching for. A city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And see, Jesus is that city. Jesus is the architect. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the builder. Abraham rejoiced when he saw Jesus because he'd found what he was looking for. In Isaiah, we read, as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Jesus, our builder, the foundation of the church, is also the church's bridegroom. As we remember, as we look with hope as well to the future, we remember that the builder will finish what he began. He will build his church. That he will one day be fully united with his church. See, the communion meal we share now is a foretaste of the future that lies before us, when we will be united in like a marriage with Jesus, with God himself. So as we reflect on these words, the readings, I'm going to play a song and you can consider, are you being like the wise builder or the foolish builder? Which describes you more accurately, the wise or the foolish?